We're up to paragraph Hey in Al-Likud Imran. It's page 121 on the right-hand side, about a third of the way down the page. This Torah we mentioned earlier is very deep. Rabbi Nizal's speaking especially about the mitzvah of tefillin, and he's discussing it based on the way the Arizal explains the Soid Kavonas tefillin. The Arizal explains what happens al-pi Kabbalah when a person puts on tefillin in the morning, and how it's tied into waking up. From the moment a person wakes up, specifically those tzaddikim, especially, that wake up in the middle of the night for chatzos, the Arizal explains what takes place when they wake up, how that affects their putting on the tefillin in the morning, what happens when they put on the tefillin shel yad, and what happens separately when they put on the tefillin shel roish. The Arizal gives an explanation, which we started in paragraph Dalid. Rabbi Nizal started referencing it, and Rabbi Nizal is giving a parallel explanation which applies to which people like us could even apply to ourselves in trying to accomplish on our level what the Arizal is discussing accomplishing according to Kabbalah. Rabbi Nizal started off by saying that a Jew should know that the mitzvah in the Torah, which is the symbol of dveikus, of how solidly attached a person is to Hashem, is the mitzvah of tefillin. And we mentioned that there's a whole discussion in the Gemara where the Gemara says that our tefillin say how much we love Hashem. Our tefillin say Hashem Echad, that Hashem is number one. And Hashem's tefillin, the Gemara says that Hashem puts on tefillin, and Hashem's tefillin, it says, Umi kamcha Yisrael goyechad boretz, that Am Yisrael is number one. And the minute you have that, as soon as you have lahavdil, a husband and wife saying you're number one, and this one says you're number one, that's dveikus. V'hoyu l'bosar echod. We once mentioned that we say in the Sheva Brachas, Sameach t'samach reyim o'ahuvim, k'samech acho yitzircho b'gan Eden mikedem. That Hashem should make this couple as happy as Adam and Chava were in Gan Eden mikedem. So one of the Mefarshim asks, how do we know they were happy? Who says they were happy? And the answer that's given is that one of the most basic things that creates a potential for unhappiness is if a person knows they have an alternative. There's somebody else to look at or somebody else to compare against. But when Adam and Chava were alone, there was nobody else to compare against. That Adam, neither one was able to think that there's better. So each one was very happy automatically. Here also the fact that the Torah says that Hashem says that the Jews are number one, you can't get closer than that. And then Rabbi Nizal goes into a whole discussion stressing that it's impossible to get to this item called tefillin, which represents dveikus Hashem, unless you're mesakein the dibur. And he tells about two types of dibur. There's a kind of dibur, there's a dibur ra and a dibur toiv. And Rabbi Nizal here says specifically that the dibur ra refers to a person who looks to speak negatively. They judge others lekav choiva. They're always looking to find fault with other people, and not just fault, but fault to the degree where this would mean that person is worthless, that person is nothing. And whereas the dibur of kedusha that Rabbi Nizal speaks about here is the opposite of that. It's a concept of speaking toiv, specifically about other people. And Rabbi Nizal goes on, we're going to see later how this ties back to tefillin, how this concept of being mesak in the dibur ties back to tefillin. And Rabbi Nizal says that dibur is synonymous with malchus. There are psukim to prove that. Therefore, when the Arizal discusses the tikkun hamalchus, Rabbi Nizal is going to be speaking parallel to that about a tikkun for the dibur of the person. The Arizal says that what takes place when a person studies Torah by night, those tzaddikim that get up in the middle of the night and study Torah them, like Dovid HaMelech, the Gemara says, he had a harp over his bed that would go off, that would start playing, and he would get up to learn Torah. The Arizal said, what happens is when a person does that, as soon as the sun comes up in the morning, the Roish HaMalchus, which the Arizal calls the Keser of Malchus, has a certain aliyah, and it goes up to a certain madrega that the Arizal called Zroya de Zeranpin, the Chose of Zeranpin. And it receives something from there. The Malchus receives something. The term Malchus versus Zeranpin is a concept of Nekeva and Zohar kaviyochel that the Arizal uses related to Hashem, not that it's meant literally in any way, but it's terms that are used to refer to the midos of Hashem. So the Arizal says what happens is that there's a certain uppermost part of the Malchus that goes up to a certain part of Zeranpin and receives something from there. And then Zeranpin becomes jealous, in a sense, of the fact that the Malchus went up and it pulls itself up to a new level. It receives Moichen Chadoshim, and those Moichen are manifested in the Tefillin. This is what the Arizal says. This is the first paragraph that the Arizal explains that we covered in the previous year. And now Rabbeinu Zal is going to continue from there, showing what the Arizal says and how Rabbeinu Zal applies it. Rabbeinu Zal substitutes for the word malchus, dibur, that a person wanting to make a tikkun for their dibur has to do it the same way the Arizal says the tikkun for the malchus is done. Just like by the malchus, you're not misaking the whole malchus in one shot, but rather you start from the top part of the malchus to make a tikkun there. So too, Rabbeinu Zal says, when a person wants to be misaken their dibur, they have to start from the top, the upper part of the dibur, which is the emes. A person has to see to it to fix the emes in their dibur. To fix, and Rabbeinu Zal brings proof, roish dvorcho emes, that emes is called the roish of the dibur, the roish of the malchus. And Rabbeinu Zal says, how is this done? This tikkun hadibur, this tikkun of the emes of the dibur, is done by learning Torah, Torah, when a person is under stress, Torah that's learned ba'anius u'bedachkus, in poverty or under difficult conditions, which is called by night, that affects the tikkun for this roish hadibur, which is the emes of the dibur. What do you want to ask?
How do we understand, so to speak, different parts of Hashem being jealous of one another, trying to pull themselves up to equal? How do we understand that?
The answer is, to a large degree, we don't. I'm speaking for myself. This is terminology. The Arizal says that there are certain terms that are used in Sifrei Kabbalah in order for us to have an understanding on our level. In other words, it can only be explained to us on a certain level based on concepts that we can relate to. By Hashem, it's taking place on a different level, but that level we can't talk about because we don't know anything about it whatsoever. What it's coming to tell us is that kaviyochel, there takes place a concept of an aliyah. There is a certain heightening of the kavod of Hashem that takes place. And it takes place, kaviyochel, Hashem wants us to perceive Him to a certain degree as a concept of zohar and akeva. Not literally chas v'shalom in any way, but as a concept of kindness and harshness, if you want to call it that, which we're labeling sometimes zohar and akeva. And that when one goes up, just like lahavdil, when you're dealing with people, if there are two chavrusas, two people learning together, and one is moving forward when the other one isn't, there's a natural jealousy on the one that isn't moving forward. He sees the other one rising. Sometimes, even if he himself wasn't motivated to rise, the fact that he becomes jealous of seeing the other one move up is what gives him the push that he needs to pick himself up. So too, the Arizal says, kaviyochel, when we talk about Hashem, this nukvah de Zeranpin and Zeranpin, this malchus and Zeranpin, a similar concept takes place, that when the Malchus goes up and meets the Zohar Kaviyochel on a certain level and receives something from the Zohar and it's improved, the Zohar also feels a desire to become improved. Just like the Gemara says about a Rebbe and a Talmud, that a Rebbe sometimes gets his greatest motivation from the Talmud. Why? Because usually the assumption is that the student is moving at a faster pace. Because the information is new to him, he's learning it for the first time, if you could watch his progress, you see more growth by the student, in a sense, than you see by the Rebbe, who's supposedly simply giving over the information which he knows already. In other words, on that level. But if a Rebbe is true, what happens very often is if he's watching the student closely, and he's watching the student's growth and progress, that itself makes him jealous of his students, in a sense, and inspires him to also jump on his level. That's what Rabbeinu Zal is talking about here. To say that we understand it clearly in reference to Hashem, I don't.
When you said learning Torah at night, is this referring to where you said only from after Pesach?
successes of Donner, like in Taragilla, basically, after Emunah starts to get dark.
The answer is Rabbeinu Zal uses the word, when the Arizal says learning Torah by night, as far as I know over here, he's referring specifically to the second part of the night, from midnight and on. This doesn't mean that on a smaller level it wouldn't be accomplished if a person were learning by night, even if it's before Chatzos. But in other words, in terms of what's really preferred and what's really the right clock that the Sifrei Kabbalah speak about, or the great Tzaddikim among the Hasidim kept, it was this clock where the day begins from midnight. And that's when the whole cycle of Kedusha, the new cycle of Kedusha, is started.
So what would be good answers for people on our level?
The answer is Rabbeinu Zal says here. That's where I'm showing you how the Arizal puts it in a certain level. Rabbeinu Zal brings it down in a sense. Rabbeinu Zal interprets the word night not to mean necessarily physically night, but Rabbeinu Zal says night could also mean menias, difficulty. Because in Hebrew, the word for darkness is choshech, and the word for obstacles is lachsoch, something that holds you back. The pasuk says about Avram Avinu, "V'loy chosachto es bincho es yichidcha mimeni." Hashem says, you didn't hold back your son from offering him as a sacrifice. So Rabbeinu Zal says that any time a Jew has obstacles in learning, and the person doesn't give up, they don't retreat, but rather they battle the obstacle and they overcome it, that's called learning Torah by night that the Arizal is referring to. And again, you have to understand, we're going to be doing both items parallel now. Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Arizal, and then he gives his version of it. The Arizal's version is very deep. It's terminology that some people aren't familiar with at all, so it could sound like Greek to you if you don't know the terms. We'll try to explain it to a degree. And even Rabbeinu Zal's explanation isn't simple either. Rabbeinu Zal says here, paragraph Hey, Ukshemales adibor l'sharoshoi. When a Jew is zeichet to elevate the dibur to its origin, to the place where he's supposed to elevate it to, haino ligvurois, which is to gvura, because we said before that dibur here is being used synonymous with malchus. Malchus represents the lowest sphera, number 10 on bottom, all the way down. Rabbeinu Zal said earlier that the sheirish of dibur is gvurois. There's a pasuk in ugvurascha yedaberu, which means that to elevate the dibur, which is called malchus, to its shayresh, means lifting it up a number of levels all the way up to gvura. Which means that the person starts speaking to Hashem with tremendous power, hislavus. And the person turns himself on for serving Hashem. This is talking about not where it's, you know, it's a casual kind of thing, but something where the person really lights a fire inside of himself. Azai nichnas oir shoyresh shel hagvurois. Then the light of this shoyresh hagvurois enters into the dibur. What is that light? Again, we're talking spiritual terms, but Rabbeinu Zal gives another word. Hainu chamimus halev. This means a certain warmth from the person's own heart enters into their words. Ki shoyresh hagvurois heim balev. Because we know that where does gvura originate from? Gvura isn't either a penthouse. Gvura is a high level from which dibur originates from, but gvura isn't the top. Gvura originates from bina, from the lave, which is above it. Kemoshe kosuv, as the pasuk says, cham libi bekirbi. My heart is hot inside of me. Behagigi tivar esh. The pasuk continues, when I'm thinking, there's a fire burning. Dibarti bilishoini. And I speak it out with my tongue. Rabbeinu Zal quotes part of the pasuk. If you know the rest of the pasuk, you see that this pasuk shows that the dibur isn't just connected to gvura. The dibur is connected to a still higher place, which is bina, the lave. Cham libi bekirbi, the fire, this gevura originates from the lave. So Rabbeinu Zal says, when a person is zeichet to be mala the dibur to the shirish, which is gevurois, and the person starts speaking with real chamimus, which is drawn from the heart, which is the shirish hagevurois, v'shom, continuing, v'shom shirish amiti, shel ho'emes, shel adibur, That's the true origin, the true beginning of the emes of one's dibur. We said the emes of the dibur is the choicest part of a person's diburim. The pasuk says that this dvar emes originates in the lev. And the person starts speaking with a fire that comes from the heart. They start speaking diburim, amitim, that also come from the heart, as is the expression of people. I don't want lip service. I want you to really mean what you say means. I want it to be coming from your heart. That's the expression that people use. Here Rabbeinu Zal saying that in the Torah there are similar concepts. There's a concept of lip service. There's a pasuk bisvosav chibduni veliboy rochak mimeni. Hashem says that there are sometimes that the Jews give me respect with their lips, but their hearts are very far from me. Which means they're davening without kavanah. They're talking to Hashem without really meaning it, without their mind and feelings really being where their mouth is. That kind of thing. Here Rabbeinu Zal is talking about being mala the dibur to a point where that's not the case, where the dibur is fully plugged in to gvura and to bina. It's plugged into its origins. And when a person starts speaking to Hashem, real words of truth that originate from their heart, in a arousal of tshuva, and the person comes to a realization because he's reaching this height of closeness to Hashem and a feeling for Hashem, what happens is the person starts realizing how small they really are. When a person's just by themselves, it's possible for the person to fool themselves into thinking they're beseder, or that they're good or whatever. But when a person starts feeling this hisirus of feeling to become close to Hashem, as the person starts moving close to Hashem, the person starts feeling what's missing inside of them. They see the difference to a degree between themselves and the whiteness and purity, kaviyochel, of Hashem. Ki ad achshav hishlich hatosav achar ksefu. Because before the person was zeicha to this hisirus, what happened was, even though the person was aware that they had done sins, they were ignoring the sins. They threw them over their shoulder as if they weren't paying that much attention to them. They weren't so bothered by them. And they weren't really looking into them. Whereas now, when the person reaches this aliyah, the person starts understanding their sins better. Azai nichnas boy busha gedoylo al goydel pshov keneged rav v'shalit ikro v'shorosh d'chol almin. Then the person starts feeling a tremendous embarrassment about the fact that they committed great sins against one who is so, so great. Again, before they weren't so aware of Hashem's greatness. When a person's davening regular and things are going along regular, they're not so tuned in to the greatness of Hashem. But when a person is zeicha to feel this hisirus and this hiskarvus Hashem, then their system becomes much more sensitive to the greatness of Hashem. And once they're more tuned in to Hashem's greatness, they're more tuned in to how terrible it is that they did something against Hashem. V'habusha hazois adayin einena b'poyel. However, when this process starts, the busha doesn't come out in all its glory. It's still in theory, in a sense. It's hidden. Hainu shehabusha hu bepnimius. This shame and embarrassment is inside the person. It doesn't show itself. Ve'ein mizgale alponov. You don't see it on the person's face. K'mo shekosuv, as the pasuk says, kisiso klima ponai. My face was covered with shame. Which means that the true pinnacle of shame is when it's all over the person's face. Whereas Rabbeinu Zal says, when a person first starts feeling this busha for their sins, first they only feel it inside. Ki zois habusha hi koidem atshuva. Because the busha we're talking about here is before the person did a real tshuva. It's the beginning of tshuva. Vezeh yodua. And Rabbeinu Zal says it's a known fact that ein doime ben kfar le ben krach. You can't compare a person who lives out in the sticks in a village to a person who lives in the big city. The closer a person is to the king, the more he's embarrassed if he did something against the king. A person who lives out in the sticks and doesn't know much about the king, So if he did something against the king's wishes, it doesn't make such a big impact on him, because to him, he's not so aware of the greatness of the king. But one who's closer to the king, that when a person starts becoming really aware of the greatness of Hashem, then obviously the busha is felt much to a much greater degree. The poor person knows about the king, the more they're embarrassed about having done something against the king. So that before a person does tshuva, their understanding and awareness of Hashem is still very small. Therefore, even if they feel some embarrassment about a sin, the embarrassment is very weak. It's not on the face yet. Because sins are synonymous with lack of seichel. So the sins of the person stuff up the person's brain not to allow them to have the full awareness of the greatness of Hashem. As the Gemara says, sins are a reflection of ruach shtus, lack of seichel. Lack of seichel means lack of awareness of the greatness of Hashem. So that you're not really embarrassed if you do something against Hashem. Avol achar kach kishe'oise tshuva. But once a person does do tshuva, umeser mimenu atipshus, and they remove the foolishness, v'nitvasev boi sichloi, and there's an increase in sechel, azai hu mizbayish biyoser, there's more sechel, he recognizes Hashem more, so he's more embarrassed, v'nizgale habushal ponov, and then this shame comes out of the from inside the person, and it's shown on the face. And this busha is what represents the light of the tefillin, which is reflected on the forehead of the person. Tefillin are worn al meitzach, on the forehead. And that's the tefillin represents, the tefillin shel roish, represents a reflection of this great degree of busha for Hashem. The ikar hisgalos habusha hi bemeitzach. And we know that the main place where the shame of a person is manifested is on the forehead, on the upper part of the head. Because of the fact that you had the forehead of an Isha Zaino, your forehead was no good, therefore you were reluctant to be embarrassed. Me'anti kolim, you were not embarrassed. You didn't feel real shame, which implies that when a person does feel real shame, it's manifested on the Meitzach. The Meitzach is what would show it. So Rabbein Azal says here that when a Jew is speaking to Hashem regular, without any major hislavus, it's an accomplishment. However, when a person is zeichet to start speaking to Hashem with hislavus, Rabbein Azal says that represents an aliyah for the dibur. Because what does it mean? Dibur is malchus. When there's hislavus in the dibur, it means that the malchus rose up to gevura, and it rose up still further. If the hislavus comes from the heart, it means that the malchus, the dibur, rose up to bina, the highest level that it can possibly go. When that connection is made, Rabbein Azal says, it's not the whole dibur that's affected by this. It's the emes of the dibur, only the choicest part of the person's dibur. It's only when a Jew speaks a dibur emes that comes from the heart, that has this hislavus alev in it. Just like the Arizal said, that when the malchus goes up, it's not all 10 spheroids of the malchus that go up, it's only the keser of the malchus that goes up. When that happens, Rabbein Azal says, the person starts feeling a busha, a boishes ponim before Hashem, which is a tremendous sign of closeness to Hashem. When a person feels a smallness, a humbleness, and an embarrassment before Hashem, it means that you've started to come close to Hashem. Because when you're far away, if I'm standing 10 miles away from the Empire State Building, Lahavdil, I can't be overwhelmed by it. I can't feel its awesomeness. It's only as you start getting closer to something that's great that you can start being overwhelmed by it and feeling embarrassed in front of it, embarrassed how small you are compared to its greatness, its large size. So too, Kaviyochel, when it comes to coming close to Hashem, one of the indications that a person is starting to come close to Hashem is the person starting to feel this busha that comes with this dibur emes bislavus aleiv. But Rabbeinu Tzal says that's just step one. And that busha originally is only felt inside the person. Then Rabbeinu Tzal says, if a person takes that busha and uses it to do tshuva, tshuva meaning, number one, a genuine vidui dvarim, person says tachnun in the morning in shachris, the oshamnu bogadnu gozalnu, all of those tefillos there, and a person does a sincere tshuva, Rabbeinu Tzal says, then the busha takes on a whole different form. Then the busha spills out from inside and manifests itself on the ponim of the person, which means that, and Rabbeinu Tzal says, this represents the concept of tefillin shel roish. The tefillin shel roish that's worn on the head, that represents a major, major light on the forehead of the person, that's this hisgalus habusha that comes about through the tshuva, that came about through the dibur emes with the hislavus halev. And now Rabbeinu Tzal will show how the Arizal says the same words in Kabbalah terms. What comes from him?
Two many things that come from a person's heart that leads to Ramesh Maramis. These are his things.
Right.
Tefillin is something extraneous. And it has that extension of...
That's the mistake. That's the mistake. Tefillin is not extraneous. Tefillin is a physical item that people physically put on their head. Some people think that's it. The Arizal shows you how that's not, how by a human being doing the physical act of putting this box on their head, they actually affect an aliyah, they affect a whole movement that takes place between Hashem and the Shekhinah. The Rosh HaMalchusko, all of these things taking place as a Jew. When a tzaddik gets up at night and learns Torah, it triggers off it moves the Malchus, the Rosh, the Kesra Malchus up to here. When he puts on his tefillin shel yad, the tefillin shel yad represent this Rosh HaMalchus receiving the tefillin shel yad or keneged halev. It represents the dibur receiving what it's supposed to receive from the lev, this pump of hislavus and oyer. When that happens, it triggers off busha. The busha rises and rises to a height where it spills out completely on the face. That's what happens when the person is putting on his tefillin shel rosh. Notes, as a Jew is going through those physical motions, the Arizal says, what's happening al pi Kabbalah? Rabbeinu Tzal says, what's happening al pi Musar? What can and should be happening to a Jew in terms of hargoshes as they're putting on tefillin? Because even on a simple level, the way our Rebbe Zichron Levracha said it, tefillin is the keser de malko, it's the crown of the king. If a Jew, when a human being is invited to come, those, we don't have that concept here in democracies like we live in. But those that live in kingdoms where the king is somebody that's awesome and respected and great. If somebody were invited to the king's palace and the king gave him his crown to put on his head, if the person is a sincere, honest person, not some yo-yo, you would see that person feel so embarrassed and ashamed to put on the crown of the king. That would be the feeling you would see on that person. That's exactly what's supposed to be taking place with a Jew when they're putting on tefillin in the morning. And Rabbeinu Tzal showing the different steps of how that's supposed to happen.
So it's like you're working in reverse. The first way is like you yourself bringing out to the Netzach, bringing out the service, you're bringing out the emes. Here, by putting on the tefillin, it's causing the
hamikus. It's both. Both are going parallel. Which triggers which could depend on the person to a degree. No, it could be as a person is doing the physical act, it's turning on certain things in them, or kav yochel, it's turning on certain things by Hashem, or a person going through the process of tshuva is turning on the tikkun of tefillin shel yad, or the tikkun of tefillin shel rosh. Just like on Shabbos, Rav Nosson Zal shows in Kutei Halachos, on Shabbos we don't put on tefillin. Why? Because the tikkunim, whatever is normally accomplished during the weekdays, by tefillin, shel yad, and roish and everything, on Shabbos the same tikkunim happen through a different way, through Shabbos itself.
Is there also a connection with
Rabbeinu Tam? I don't believe it's mentioned in this chapter on the Kutei Imran, but of course it's connected. For sure that has the difference between Rashi Tefillin and Rabbeinu Tam's Tefillin and how that comes into play here. Let's take a look at the small paragraphs on the side in the small Rashi print. V'ze b'chinas reshimu shebelev ze rampin, on the upper third of the page. This is what the Arizal means when he says that after the Malchus went up, and became after the Rosh Hamalchus went up and became parallel with the Chose of Zeranpin, then what happens is the Rishimu Shebelev Zeranpin Shenichnas Barosh Forchemes, there's a certain light that the lave of Zeranpin shines into this keser of the Malchus, which Rabbein Azal called the Rosh Dvor Choemes, the Rosh Hadibur, Hainu Barosh HaMalchus, Kishehi Yosheves Bizroya Zmoli. Because the Arizal says, Kaviochel, at that point, the keser of the Malchus positions itself in the arm of the left hand. Because this is all what we said before, that Dibur originates from Gvurois. Ugvuros chaydaberu. Gvura is the left hand of a person. When we talk about the Sphirois, Chesed is the right hand, Gvura is the left hand. So the Tfilin Shalyad, which is put on the left hand, symbolizes the Rosh HaMalchus moving up to a parallel level with Zeranpin, which is the chest area, and it positions itself right on the upper, you know, on the forearm. The next, where it's vertical on the side of the page, the next little paragraph, Hago, v'ze bechinas shezeranpin miskane b'malchus v'loikeach liatzmoy horashimu shaloi. What we said earlier, that when the person starts feeling, when the person himself, as a result of speaking the dibur, emes, the hislavus, the person himself starts feeling a busha, notes that his own words turn him on. His own words inspire him and activate a busha inside of him. That's what the Arizal means when the Arizal says that when the Rosh HaMalchus went up to the Chosev Zer, the Zer Anpin is miskane by the Rosh HaMalchus. This Zer Anpin that saw the Malchus move up, it becomes jealous in a sense, and it becomes inspired. It wants its turn. It wants to rise to a higher level for itself. That's parallel to what Rabbeinu Zal said about the person suddenly feeling an arousal of busha as a result of his own words that he heard himself saying, speaking a dibur emes bislavus. Next, the next paragraph, v'ze bechinas shal yidei hatfilo boin moichen chadoshim. Rabbeinu Zal says that the third item that we said, that after the person feels that initial busha, which is inside of the person, then when the person does tshuva, that busha comes out and covers the face of the person and shines on the face of the person. That's what the Arizal means when the Arizal says that when a person davens shachris in the tefillin shel roish, during the tefillah, the davening in the tefillin shel roish gives a person new moichin. Moichin chadosh means a new awareness, recognizing the greatness of Hashem. We say that the busha represents coming closer to Hashem. Coming closer to Hashem means a greater awareness of Hashem. What the Arizal is calling moichin, a hischatshus ha-moichin. Va'oz yoytzei horishimu bebechinas tefillin. And then the manifestation of this moichin chadoshim is in the form of the light of the tefillin. Ka'yidei habusha shehu mispalel u'mevake. This comes about through the bush, because the person is davening and asking mechila from busha, from this initial busha that they felt. That's what's leading them to tefillah and to asking for forgiveness of their sins. And that's what really brings out the busha, which is reflected on the tefillin shel rosh. This is how Rabbeinu Zal showed in his format an explanation for what the Arizal was saying in his words. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'ze pirush oz tovin yiras Hashem v'das elikim timtzo." There's a pasuk like this in Mishlei. Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain now the connection between tovin and yiras Hashem. Kemuva b'zoyer Hakadosh tefillin heim bechinas imo al bro. The Zoyer Hakadosh says that tefillin represents a concept of the mother over her children, bina over zeranpin. Ve'em labina tikro. We know that the mother is synonymous with bina. V'ze pirush oz tovin haynu al yedei bina yisera sheyia bakoras haboirei. We said that one of the things that happens when a person puts on tefillin is that the person is given a greater awareness of the greatness of Hashem. Another word for that is bina. Through that bina, al yedei ze yiras Hashem. Through that is prepared the tikkun of Yiras Hashem. Hainu bechinas tefillin. Kama shomer chazal, as the Gemara says, v'ro kol am yoretz kishem Hashem nekro lecho v'yoru mimeko elu tefillin. The Gemara says that there's a pasuk which says that the nations of the world will see that Hashem's name is upon you and they'll be afraid of you. Where are they going to see the name of Hashem upon you? That's the tefillin shel roish. The tefillin shel roish, that's where the goyim see the name of Hashem on us. And that generates yira. Ki hayira hu habusha. Because Rabbi Nizal says that the word yira is synonymous with busha. Kama shekosov, as the pasuk says, as the Gemara says, there's a pasuk in Chumash where it says, leman tiye yiras Hashem al pneichem, that Hashem wants the Jews to have fear of Hashem upon their faces. The Gemara says, what is fear of, how do you have fear of Hashem on your face? Ze habusha, shehi al aponim. The Gemara says that refers to the shyness, that shy, embarrassed look that a Jew is supposed to have. Hainu bechinas tefillin, which is synonymous with tefillin. The tefillin is worn on the face, in a sense, on the front part of the head. Al yedei bino shehi imo al bro. And this busha is brought about through a greater understanding and awareness of the greatness of Hashem, which is synonymous with bina, which is over zeranpin. Bro, the sun here, when the Zohar Kodesh uses the term imo al bro, it's talking about bina, over Zeranpin. So that this awareness of Hashem, this awareness that a person gets of the greatness of Hashem, represents a still higher level, which leads to the coming forth of this busha on the person's face, which represents the oyer of the tefillin shel roish. V'zeh shomer chazal, this is what the Gemara says in Brochus, tefillin nekroim pe'er, that tefillin is called beauty. Shenemar pe'ercha chavu sholecha. There's a pasuk where Hashem told one of the tzaddikim that whereas other people, when a relative passes away, they don't wear tefillin, Hashem said to this tzaddik that by you, pe'ercha chavu sholecha, even during your shiva, you will have your pe'er upon you, which means you will wear tefillin. U'pe'er hu klolius hagavnin. The term pe'er, beauty, represents a combination of colors. This is tiferes. The word tiferes, which is a combination of chesed and gvura. Tiferes is one of the nicknames of Zeranpin. The word tiferes is used sometimes interchangeably with the term Zeranpin. Ki ha-hisparus al yedei klolius hagavnin. Because true beauty is shown by a combination of colors, by a mix of colors blending together. Kama shekosov, as the pasuk says, Yisroel asher becho espoer. Hashem says, the Jewish nation through which I am beautified. Why? Ki heim klulim migavnin sagiin. The Zohar HaKadosh says, because the Jews are made up of many different colors. Each one, each Jew is different. They're not all uniform, one the same. Each one has a different beauty to them. By this one, it's music. By this one, it's Torah. By this one, it's they're singing. Each one has their contribution to Yiddishkeit. V'zeh shonu royim kishe'odom mizbayesh nase kamo gavnin. And Rabbi Nizal says that you'll observe that when a person is embarrassed, their face changes colors. There's this revelation of hisparus. So in other words, if we're saying that tefillin is called pe'er, and we said pe'er is a beauty that comes from a combination of colors, I'm showing you now that shame and tefillin are synonymous. Because when a person becomes ashamed or embarrassed, there's also a combination of colors. Red and white, face turns red, then white. Rabbi Nizal says, Uboze yecholim onu lahovin im yesh lodom yira shamayim haynu busho la'achar tikon acheid. This is a way that we're able to see and understand if a person has fear of Hashem, which means shame, after they commit a sin. How do we tell if a person has true yiras Hashem and busha after they committed a sin? Kishe'onu mistaklim alponov. When we look at this person's face, v'noifel olav, or olenu, yiru busha, and we see that upon this person there is this shame, this shyness, this embarrassment, or by looking at this person's face, we feel ashamed and embarrassed. There's two girsois here. There's a girs on the bottom which says, v'noifel olenu yiru busha, that when you look at this person's face, and either you see on his face this busha, or you yourself, by looking at this person's face, feel a boishes ponim. Hainu shenim shachol of das bigdulas abayiris barashmoi. This shows you that this person has drawn upon himself an awareness of the greatness of Hashem. Because that's obviously what's making him feel embarrassed. When does a person feel embarrassed? When they see themselves as being tiny compared to something else. So when a Jew feels a boishes ponim, it implies that he has an awareness of the greatness of Hashem. V'zeh pirush oz tovin yiras Hashem. Pirush, bozeh tovin sheyesh lo yiras Hashem. When will you, how will you know that a person has fear of Hashem? V'das elekim timtza. Hainu kishayimtza gam lecho deya begdulas haboyrei. When you will feel an awareness of the greatness of Hashem, hainu busha ve'yira, which is synonymous with busha and yira, v'zeh b'chinas, then you'll know that the person you're looking at has true yiras Hashem. V'zeh b'chinas, v'ro kol amei horetz, kishem Hashem nekro lecho, v'yoru mimeko. When the Pasuk says that the goyim will see that the name of Hashem is upon you, and they will be afraid, mimeko, mimeko can mean of you, or mimeka can mean from you. From looking at you, and you have this yiras Hashem upon you, you have this tefillin shel roish, which is the manifestation of the busha, the person. What happens is they will be filled with fear. Not they will be filled with fear, an awareness of the greatness of Hashem. That's the point. Because Rabbi Nizal's giving a different explanation than pshat. The literal pshat over there is, they'll look at you, they'll see the name of Hashem upon you, the tefillin, and they'll be afraid of you, the Jewish people. Rabbi Nizal's saying you should know that when a Jew is zoiche to yiras Hashem, which means busha, that implies that that person has an awareness of the greatness of Hashem. That's what gives a person that busha. Busha implies that the person has come closer to Hashem, he sees how big Hashem is, that's obviously what's making him feel embarrassed. So Rabbi Nizal says this happens on a level of an individual Jew, a tzaddik, let's say. A person goes to a great tzaddik, and you look at him, you see the boishes ponim on his face, that comes from his awareness of the greatness of Hashem, and you get filled with a yira, by you looking, because you receive it from him. That's what the Pasuk says. Oz tov and yiras elekim, v'das elekim timtso. That it's something that you're affected by. When you see it, you can get to know another person's yiras Hashem by how it affects you. That's one of the points. Exactly. Rabbi Nizal says, the Pasuk is, v'ro kol amei horetz kishem Hashem nekro lecha. The goyim will see the tefillin of the yidden, which is the boishes ponim of the Yidden, which shows their awareness of the greatness of Hashem, v'yoru, and they will be filled with a fear. Fear of what? A fear of Hashem, an awareness of Hashem, mimeko, from you. From looking at the Jew, and from what they receive from you, they will receive yira. That's how Rabbeinu Zal's teaching.
One thing is where you feel Hashem, you're so afraid you have a boishes ponim.
Right. Being affected from the Yidden. In other words, when the Yidden are zecha to be where they're supposed to be, not only do they elevate themselves, but even the goyim who will look upon them, they'll feel a hero. You know, they'll feel like an offshoot of it. They'll be affected by it also.
Since women are instilled with yira as their nature, they don't need to.
His question is a very serious question. The Arizal asks that question to a degree. The Arizal said, not in exact same words as you are asking it, the Arizal says that if the tikkun that we're talking about here is the malchus, if we say that when a person puts on tefillin, what happens is that the roish hamalchus goes up, and goes up to the zroya over here, and receives this whole thing, then why don't women wear tefillin? If women are synonymous with malchus, malchus is called nukva de zeranpin. Why don't women wear? And the Arizal answers, no. The Arizal answers that note, it's only the roish hamalchus. There's only a tiny, tiny percentage of the malchus that plays a role in this thing. Because when, if we were to use the term malchus stam, that could more relate to the entire feminine race, that kind of thing. But the fact that here, what's playing a role in the mitzvah of tefillin is only the roish hamalchus, shows that it does not necessarily apply to women, period. It's not like on a general level. Here also, even though we're talking about terms which, to a degree, in a certain way, women have it easier to have those midos, the mido of Yiras Hashem, than a man does, they're closer to it. But still, on the level that it's taking place here, it's a man's level. The answer is because you see here that tefillin has to do with an awareness of Gdulas Hashem, which we say a koton ein lo das. A koton doesn't have the level of awareness of the greatness of Hashem that's needed to be involved in tefillin.
There are a lot of people who are in their 70s, 80s who don't have.
So the answer is those people are ktanim in a sense. That doesn't mean a person has the right to say that if I think I'm not so smart, I'm not going to put on tefillin. The Chachomim established a certain age, just like by a sukkah we said, that if you make a sukkah larger than 20 amos, then even if you make it from a styrofoam, it's puzzle. Because the Chachomim said that when something's more than 20 amos high, you would have to make it real solid in order for it to stand well, and that's called diras keva. Whereas if it's lower than that, even if you make it from cement blocks, it's still kosher. Here also, once the Chachomim established a certain age, where we know that at this age is when it's possible for a person to have the right das, that's what we go by.
Would that be construed, this stage be construed as the onset of tshuva?
Yes. Also true. Knows because Rabbeinu Zal here is putting them both together. Rabbeinu Zal saying that the concept of awareness of the greatness of Hashem, that das, is synonymous with Yiras Hashem, which is synonymous with busha, which is synonymous with tshuva. Those go together. So that for a person to do real tshuva requires an awareness of the greatness of Hashem, which requires a certain level of das.
The tshuva is an ongoing process. I mean,
right.
He has to carry on doing the tshuva that he did before.
Right. That's why we're putting on tefillin every day. Tefillin isn't the thing you do once in your life. Obviously, this cycle takes place constantly, new levels. You understand? Each time a person learns more about Hashem, Hashem becomes bigger in their eyes. They become embarrassed more than they were yesterday about their sins. Yesterday, my awareness of the greatness of Hashem was on level 64. Based on that level of awareness of the greatness of Hashem, I felt embarrassed for my sins. Level 64 embarrassment. Once today I learned 10 new things about Hashem, so that my awareness of Hashem now is 74, my embarrassment is bigger also. That's on a simple level. We'll hold it over here for now.